get our Bibles out. Oh, and everyone looks embarrassed. Oh. If you don't have a Bible, just get out your mobile phone and pretend that you've got one. Because it's not what we do. And if anyone posts on Facebook during this sermon, I will know who you are. And I will find you. And I will... Well, I can't say kill you. That's not very nice, is it? And I will unfriend you. How's that? The ultimate insult. They unfriended me. Dirty rats. So, what I was talking about is this. Is in the whole area of praise. How do you do life? What's your MO, for those of you who like police dramas? MO, modus operandi. Oh, you like that? A wee bit of Greek thrown in there? Or is that Latin? Who knows? That's Latin, I know. Just keeping you on your toes. How is it that you do things? Because what I was talking about is a guy called Jehoshaphat, and whenever he is faced with insurmountable obstacles in his life, and let's just not go with insurmountable, let's just go with stuff that is outside of your ability to control or to determine what the outcome will be. How do you, as a Bible-believing, God-fearing Christian believer, deal with life? Because it is my experience from my own life, and actually looking around with most Christians, is what they do is they go in on themselves, they pray, oh God, help, but essentially at the heart of how we do life is, God, I'll do this myself, and if you can step in at any time and deliver me, well, certainly that'll be great, but at the end of the day, whatever I have to face is down to me. And what we saw in the story of Jehoshaphat is that I said that praise releases grace. That whenever you're a person who gives thanks and praise to God, not just when you're in trouble, in the poo, I was going to say, I've just said it, but there you go. It's that horse's head put me off. Don't ever make me wear a horse. It upset me. And can I just say that Ben was running around the house yesterday, and our wee Sophie was terrified, going, ah, donkey, donkey. And I'm going, no. And then at one point, talk about it was like a bad trip. Not that I've ever had a bad trip, but I imagine I was sitting in the kitchen, and Hope came in, right, my four-year-old. And she had gone out dressed in her pajamas, and 5 minutes later came in a raincoat, listen to this, welly boots, the horse's head, and an umbrella. And just stood there in our kitchen, and I was like, what the heck is going on? It's like, Penny, what did you put in my tea this morning, love? That is, whoa. Anyway, so the point is, £5 on Amazon, the best fun we've had as a family in a day. And what I said was, it doesn't, to our natural minds, makes sense to be somebody who says thank you for something before you've got it. Normally, thank you is a response to what somebody gives you and you're able to touch it. Saying thank you before sounds very presumptuous. And many Christians say, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can be someone who says, thank you, God. Surely, thank you, God, is your response to what you see God do. And I actually challenged that in my first week. I said, no. To see victory, we have to be people who are prepared to say thank you and in faith believe that what we are looking for has already been done through Jesus. And people go, oh, I struggle with that. Is that name it and claim it? No, it's not. Don't be lazy and label things. Go back and listen to the talk. Because today what I want to say is, the first week I said praise releases grace. Today I'm going to look at how does praise affect you. And my point is this, that praise not only releases grace into your situation, praise builds faith in you. Listen to me, praise builds faith. So let's have a look at that. So turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're just going to jump in at verse 15. And what I'm going to say is this, I'm going to recap, I'm overlaying my last point. Whenever Jehoshaphat was facing the battle, what he did was he got on his knees and he got the people gathered round and they started to thank God. He didn't respond with, oh no, God, what am I going to do? Oh no, I'm in trouble. Oh, what is this going to be? He says, as soon as he hears about the armies of the Ammonites and all the peoples of the east gathered against him, he turns and he says, God, thank you that you are God. And he starts to worship and praise and give thanks to God. And then in verse 15, we read about this guy called Jehaziel. And what I said is, in an atmosphere of faith and belief, that whenever you are surrounded in your life by praise and by thanks, on a wet Tuesday when the world is coming against you, it releases the faith of God into your situation to believe for the outcome of God. Praise releases faith. Because you see this guy, Jahaziel, and in the middle of it all, as the people start to thank, and as you start to give thanks to God in the face of opposition, in the face of difficult circumstances, what you find is that the Spirit of God in those moments is able to move. Because it releases the faith of God into your situation. It builds up faith in you. And Jahaziel here, he stands up in the middle of the assembly. He's a Levite, and he says, "Do not be afraid, people. Jehoshaphat, don't be dismayed at the great dismay." That was dead Belfast. "At the great horde that stands in front of you. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's." Whenever you give thanks, whenever you stand this week and you look at what you have to face, when you look at the relational difficulties that you'll need to go through, when you look at your finances, when you look at all the stuff that comes against you, if you will turn in that moment and say, "God, I give you thanks that you are good and you are faithful," and you let the praise of God rise on your lips, I promise you the Spirit of God moves in that moment and builds you up in faith. And you will hear the Spirit of God start to give you perspective. You see, whenever God releases faith into your situation, it's about giving you perspective on the battle in front of you. So to the natural eyes for Jehoshaphat and the people, it looked like they would never overcome what was in front of them. You might feel like that. There is no chance of me getting over this one. There is no chance of this situation turning. There is no chance. I am done. I am finished. And all the negativity that comes your way. But I promise you this. Stand and say thank you to God that He is good, He is faithful, He is your deliverer, your healer, and He is your restorer. And you will see all of a sudden, here's the thing, did the Ammonite army run away at that point? No, they didn't. But in Jehoshaphat's mind and in his heart, they got their right perspective. They stopped being so massive and he started to see them through the eyes of faith. And all of a sudden, his brothers and his sisters around him started to encourage him about his situation. You don't need to fight this one. The battle is God's. You don't need to stand on your own in this one. The battle is God's. You're not going to need to lift your hand. The battle is God's. And so whenever you're a person of thanks, what you're going to find is that in the middle of a church and a community that is a church that gives thanks and praise to God, we're going to find that every problem that we face gets its right perspective as we release faith and we banish negativity. When we look at our situation through the eyes of faith and we say, "Jesus, I'm going to give you thanks in the face of overwhelming opposition. And as I do that, it's not that my enemy is going to run straight away, but I'm going to start and see those things as you see them." You know the problem for most of us? I am struggling this morning. The problem for most of us, sorry for spitting on you. The problem for most of us is we just simply look and we estimate and we base our lives on what we see, first of all. We need to release belief and faith into our situations. We need to stop with the ascertaining and reckoning ourselves as to how we think things are going to work out. Because when it's too big for you, the Lord says, simply stand. Put your hands in the air, lift your heart to me, give thanks, and I will show you how I see your situation. And when you see it with the eyes of God, faith rises up in you. You get that? Are you magnifying the problem or the answer in your situation? Because your life is going to go the way of your dominant thought. When we focus on our problems and we focus on our circumstances, then that's where we're going to stay. The word comes in the middle of this incredible time of thanksgiving. Verse 17, you'll not need to fight in this battle. What would it be like for you if today I came along to you and said, "See what you're facing. Whether it's medical, whether it's relational, whether it's just it's mental illness or physical, whatever it happens to be, someone coming alongside you and going, God has just shown me you're not going to have to fight anymore. All that strength and holding on and doing your best, it's done. This is the word of the Lord to you. Stand firm. Hold on to your position, and you will see God's salvation on your behalf. So don't be afraid and don't be dismayed." Doesn't that build faith in you? Doesn't it? The praise of God, the thanksgiving of God that comes from your lip releases faith into your world around you and builds faith up in you as you start to see your issue with the perspective of Jesus and not the perspective of your natural mind and thinking. Now, I'm going to go on to explain why that is so important. Notice Jehoshaphat says here, you will not have to fight, but he does tell him that he has to do something. You have to stand firm, you have to hold your position, and you will see the salvation of God. So the question is then, how does praise help you to stand? What I've found in my life is this. I will only stand for something, or I will only stand, and at the times where I've stood kind of in God, shaking at times, nervous and afraid, but the only times that you will stand in life is whenever you are persuaded that God is true, that his word is true, and that his promise is true, and that when he speaks something over your life, it is truth. If you are not convinced on the goodness of God, on the love of God, you will fall over like that. Do you want to understand why you run back to yourself? People get all head up and go, I don't understand why I keep retreating, and I want to have faith, and I want to be bold, and I want to say, God, you know, I want to be all these things that you call me to be. And then when stuff comes against you, you just go back to fault or back to default position, which is, I'll turn in on myself. Why do we do that? I know in many times in my life I've said, God, why do I keep doing that? Why? Because I'm not persuaded that God is true. That's the simple thing. I'm not persuaded that his promise is true for me. But if I am convinced, in the times in my life where I have stood and gone, God is faithful. We've sung this morning that God is our healer. You know, I had many times in my Christian journey where it wasn't the world, it was the church, and Christians and good-meaning people came against what I believe God was putting in my heart and saying, you better not believe that. Don't you dare give false hope to people. You know, you're a heretic. I had it all. Don't you dare stand and say that God is a healer. Don't do that, because you're just going to lead people down a wrong path. But what happened for me was I was so utterly convinced that God's word is true, and I have seen God move in my life in healing. I've seen God restore healing to my physical body. I have beautiful children who run around this place. I've got a dad who should have been dead with cancer 30-odd years ago. And so I was utterly convinced that despite all the opposition that came my way, that I would stand firm and hold my position that Jesus Christ is true to his word. Amen. Amen. And so whenever you're persuaded, and how did I get to that place? I can remember driving down the Belmont Road after I left a church. And they weren't very happy about the whole healing thing. And I was listening to a song called Healer, not that one we sang this morning, from one of the Passion albums. And I had the thing blasting so loud that it was distorting in the car, you know, because I've got a Renault and the speakers are rubbish. And you know, you fancy people with your VWs and BMWs and fancy sound systems, you haven't heard anything until you've heard Renault at 30 on the stereo, let me tell you. Whole car was shaking like that. I was singing, how wide, no matter where I am, healing is in your hands, at the top of my lungs on the Belmont Road. Going, do you know what, God? Come what may, I am standing firm on this. And because we stand firm on things like that, other people walk into their healing. You've got to be convinced of the goodness of God. And the point about singing in that, in my car, was I found myself in a place, no matter where I am, God, whenever I have the opportunity, I'm going to give you thanks that you are my healer. I'm going to give you thanks that you are the healer of my friends and my family. I'm going to give you thanks that for the strangers who email us and we pray and we've seen God heal kids in Canada and America and all sorts of places through us standing in Belfast going, Jesus is true to his word, church. Praise releases faith. And so I would give thanks to God, and I still do. Every opportunity I get, I sing like a buck agent in my car. And I don't give a flying monkeys who sees me. Stick out in your pipe. Why? Because I want to be convinced any time, any minute of the day that God is true. And so praise releases faith. Now, here's what I want to say. You have faith this morning. When it comes to faith, it's one of the biggest bugbears for people. I don't have faith. Or do I have enough faith? Let me just give you two verses to take away. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, it probably says in your Bible. But actually the real word is the measure of faith. Everyone has the same faith given to them by God. The kind of faith, saving faith, that's described in the Bible is never generated by humankind. It never comes from you. It is a gift that God gives to you in order to believe in him. So you have faith. And everyone, he gets the same measure of faith. He's no respecter of people. He doesn't bless some people with more and some people with less. We're going to talk about how some people can build on that of which God has put into them. Now, whose faith is it anyway? It's not just that you've been given faith. You've been given the faith that Jesus operated in Galatians 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live by in the flesh, I live by faith, pistis, to be persuaded, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if your Bible says, I live by faith in the Son of God, it's wrong. In Greek, it's a subjective genitive, the word to, T-O-U, and it means of God. And so not only has God given you faith, you operate the same quality of faith that God has put in you is the same faith that Jesus operated in the world. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. And what happens is when we praise God, when we are people who give thanks to God, what happens is that faith is released. That's why giving God thanks is so important. Whenever you think about God, because you already have what is needed on the inside of you to release that faith into your situation. And the thing is, whenever you give thanks to God, simply what you do is you magnify God, you make him bigger, your situation starts to get its right perspective, and when you do that, as God gets bigger, faith is released into your world. If you continually think on negative things, you will have defeat, doubt, and unbelief. But God has given you faith. Praising God focuses your mind. It focuses your hearts onto Jesus. And in a sense, it brings you such complete strength whenever you stand and say, God, I love you and I thank you. If your mind is continually going to the negative, if your mind is continually going to what may happen, I mean, it's funny, Penny woke up yesterday morning, in the middle of the night. And normally, you know, Penny has the gift of deafness during the middle of the night, particularly when the kids are crying. You know, Sophie wakes up, and the Lord has blessed her with deafness, selective deafness, from like 11 at night to 7 in the morning. Wonderful gift to have. So she hits me a dick in the ribs and goes, is that Sophie crying? Is that Sophie Cran? No, it's a burglar. It's a toddler burglar who's broken into the house. Of course it's Sophie Cran. But the thing is, then she couldn't get back to sleep because something started to play in her mind. You ever find that? Wake up early, can't get to sleep. Pressure. And anyone? Or is this just us? We all know what it's like. So my wife being holy and my greatest example of Jesus to me, just started to thank God. I could hear, thank you, Jesus. Out like a light. I was still awake. The slobber, I couldn't get over at all. I was like, oh, thanks very much, love. You know what I mean? Spitting again. Why? Because it focuses our minds and it releases faith. And the peace of God, which goes beyond anything you can understand, starts to flood your heart. As you give thanks. Not as you beg God to do what he's already done, but as you give thanks to him for what he has done. The peace of God flows. Why? Because you're releasing the faith of God into your situation. This is key. What happens if you decide, well, look, here's the thing. Not many of us decide, I'm not going to be thankful and praise. I'm not going to give praise to God. I have decided that I'm going to be selfish and I will not give thanks. So do not ask me to do that, you slobber, because I'm just not doing it. We don't rationalize our Christian life like that. I want to show you the pattern of why praise affects you so much. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses from 23 to 24. This may help some of you understand why your life looks the way it does this morning. This is Paul. Before he goes on to write his masterpiece of grace, he's laying out what people are like. And they're no different today. For although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God. Listen to this. And they didn't give thanks to him. Now I've read this a million times and just passed over it. But there's something deeply profound about that. Because Paul starts by going, people knew who God was. They knew who he is, but they didn't give thanks and they didn't honor him. So as a result, they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images representing mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They didn't honor him, and they didn't give thanks to him. And the effects are profound. The effect in your life whenever you, day by day, do not open your mouth to give thanks to God and release faith are more profound than you will ever think. At the very start, what Paul says here is this. Let me give you some words. I said it at the start. Giving thanks is a word called eucharisteo in Greek. It simply means to declare that the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, the love of God works well. It is a positive declaration in the face of negativity and doubt and cynicism that says, I will give thanks, and by doing that, I prophetically release the unmerited favor of God. Jesus did it time and time again. The same word you'll see Jesus broke bread and he gave thanks is the same word. Jesus declared the unmerited favor of God over every situation that he was in, and he saw multiplication as a result. So that's what it means. And it says here that if you don't declare the unmerited favor and the love of God over your life every day, what happens is your thinking becomes futile. The word here is pointless. And then he goes on to say that, you know, they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. The word there is dialogimos. Listen to this. It means back and forth reasoning, reasoning that is self-based and therefore confused. So what Paul is saying is this. Whenever you don't give thanks, the effect on your life is this. The way you try to approach it and work it out is futile, waste of time. In fact, you start to go backwards and forwards, always thinking. Anyone ever thought about a situation from every single angle going? Anyone? What about this? What about that? Talk to someone. What do they think? Oh, I don't know. And you go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. Isn't that right? That's what he's talking about here. He says, when you don't give thanks to God, your heart becomes darkened and your reasoning is useless. Why? Because, listen to me, at the start, whenever you give thanks to God and you give him your place, all of a sudden your focus is on Jesus and his perspective permeates everything. When you refuse to give thanks, who is elevated to the place of Jesus in your life? You are, or what they think is. And all of a sudden, when God is replaced by you or by other people, your thinking becomes clouded. It's reasoning that is self-based, not God-based, and therefore, by definition, is confused. Now, if you go down to 29 and 31, look at the result of that. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, and Philippi keeps going, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. And all the people said, amen, or oh my. Now, the point is this. You might not be all of those things, but the fruit in your life of self-based, self-centered, self-focused reasoning and thinking things through will be a mess. That's the point that he's making. It will lead you nowhere. But if you will give thanks to God and release the faith of God into your situation, it will be totally different. One of the roots of people messing up their lives is they refuse to give God his place by thanking him. And so the effects are terrible. Do you understand? We don't release faith, we release pride. And Proverbs 13:10 says that it is only by pride that comes strife and contention. I was reading this week a scientist called Barbara Fredrickson. And so if simply releasing all kinds of chaos into your life is not enough for you to make you convinced that you should be a person of praise, science backs this up as well. This is where I love the interplay between science and the Bible. Barbara Fredrickson is an American. And what she said was this. She has shown that being positive, that she's not a Christian, she's not a believer. And so they talk in terms of positivity and negativity. We talk in terms of praise and thanks, okay? So there's a difference in language, but at the heart, I believe it's actually quite similar. Whenever she says people act positively, what happens is it broadens your perspective on the world. Listen, broadens your perspective on the world. What have I just said about what happened with Jehoshaphat? When the thanks of God came, he got the perspective of God. All right? Scientists today are going, whenever you give thanks, your worldview broadens out. It ceases to become so narrow and suffocating and leading you into that place where you feel like you're going to die. So being positive, according to scientists, broadens. Now also, the second point she says is this, is that it builds up over time, creating lasting emotional resilience and flourishing. So what I mean is this, what you don't do is go, thanks God, flip, has this not changed yet? Thank you God. Not that Christians would do that. Here, Lord, here's a pound in the offering, now can you clear my credit card please? You know, not that Jews would ever do that. £2 maybe in the offering. It builds up over time, isn't that interesting? It's a habit of praise, a lifestyle of praise that builds and builds, builds, builds. The effect of negativity on your physical health is amazing. Let me just quote her. Chronic stress from negative attitudes and feelings of helplessness and hopelessness can upset the body's hormone balance and deplete brain chemicals required for the feeling of happiness, as well as having a damaging effect on the immune system. New scientific understandings have identified the process by which chronic stress decreases lifespan by shortening the telomeres, the end caps of our DNA, which play a huge role in aging. Poorly managed or repressed anger and hostility has a whole slew of health conditions such as hypertension, cardiovascular disease, digestive disorders, and infection. So the effect on you as a person is not just about releasing the faith of God into your situation, it actually changes your body. How cool is that? If you deal with negativity, and you deal with cynicism, and you deal with doubt, and you let your mind go that way every time, not only does it rob the life of God from moving in your situation, it actually does you physical harm. The effect of praise is phenomenal on the life of a believer. That's just a wee bit of science thrown in for you. Go and look her up yourself. So I'm going to give you 5 last minutes. I'm going to speak to people now who are in the gap. I finished with this last time, but I just want to bring out a couple more points. What do you do in the gap between hearing the word of God and seeing it come to pass? What are you doing this morning if you've heard the promise of God over your life and you've yet to see it come to pass? How are you filling that time? How are you filling that space? What if you say, okay, that is me. God's spoken to me. I feel like I'm still standing, but I've yet to see my deliverance. When the word of the Lord comes, Jehoshaphat, back to 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 18, when the word of the Lord came to him and said, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, his first response was he turned, put his face to the ground, and all of Judah, everybody with him, and they worshipped God. All along in this journey, the effect of praise on Jehoshaphat was to release faith into him and into the people in the face of insurmountable objects. I want to encourage you today, listen to me. If you are a man or a woman who has heard the promise of God in your life, but you have not yet seen it, I want to encourage you to fill the time with thanks and praise to God. Fill it. Because if you don't, your thinking will become futile, you will have back and forth reasoning, and you will end up with all kinds of crap in your life. Get the perspective of God today. And how do you do that? The weapon is thanks. That is how you release faith and you build faith. What happens is that gift which God has already given you, the faith of Jesus, to operate the same way that he operated, is already placed in you through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? And giving thanks to God activates and releases and puts that into your situation. I have found many times, I'm going to be really honest, even walking down, Penny said to me last night, she said, about 4 times today, I just felt like such a, she couldn't even find the words, which is unusual for her, because she likes to talk. And the way I say that when she's not here, she wouldn't say it if she was sitting. And she said about 4 or 5 times, I just felt, yesterday, have you ever felt that? And you think, why am I feeling like this? Like a wee flump cloud raining down on my head. All of a sudden, anyone? Or are we just completely and utterly mental? Thank you. You're mental with me. That's brilliant. And she said to me yesterday, or 4 or 5 times, Andre, I just didn't know what it was, but I just felt like this crushing. I just had to say, God, I'm going to give you thanks right now. And every time she did, it's not living with me before your head goes out, okay? You know, thinking, well, see, to be honest, if I live with you, I'd be giving thanks all the time. And what we decided was, I'm going to spend every minute, because if I put myself into neutral, like yesterday, what we find is that futility and close thinking and base thinking comes in. And so we chatted about it, and we said, we've got to be on the front foot with this. Because this battle is a spiritual battle, and we wage it primarily by standing firm and giving thanks to God. And by building faith in us and in our family, by continually declaring, Psalm 34, the goodness and the love of God. Continually declaring that we are delivered and healed. Continually declaring that we will see the favor and the unmerited blessing of God manifest in our lives and in our children. Let his praise continually be on your lips. Because there ain't no new drum. And that's how you build faith. Will you stand and praise God this week? Before the victory or only when you see it? Your choice. And here's my last point. In going out to face the challenge. So here we have the word of the Lord comes. And the word of the Lord comes to you this morning and says, you're safe and you're secure. Don't be worried, like the Lord said to you earlier on. He gets himself into that place and he gathers the people around him and they start to worship God and give him thanks. At this point, they had not yet seen anything change on the outside. Remember what Dr. Fredrickson said to us? Over a period of time, this builds in our life. A pattern and a lifestyle of praise. At this point, the word of the Lord has come. They've gathered around, they've worshipped, they felt encouraged. But you know what? Nothing's changed. Isn't this the point where you kind of go, oh God, give us a chance? Would you not have shown one Amorite with his head cut off just as like a wee taster to give us a, this is all great when you just need to stand firm, but are there any chance of just showing us like one with a flesh wound or something? No. They're all standing. Everything that he's had to face and everything that the nation has to face is still right in front of him. This is one of the coolest verses in the whole Bible. I love it. Because it'll outline to you how this works. The word of the Lord comes again to him. Believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established, and you will succeed. Again, the encouragement is believe before you see, and you will succeed. That's how it works for New Testament believers. Believe before you see it, and then you'll see it. And then watch this verse here. This is the key. They go out, and they declare the praise of God into the situation. The word of the Lord comes and encourages them. The word of the Lord comes and strengthens them. And then they open their mouths, and as they go out to face the Ammonites, when you go to that meeting this week, when you go to have that conversation with your husband or your wife, when you go to do whatever it is that you have to do this week, they went with the praise of God on their lips. And listen to this. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush. I love that. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Before you go into a situation this week, praise God for a good outcome. Because it was as they began to face and to praise, God moved. Do you see the whole way along? Praise strengthened them. Praise brought the prophetic word to them. Praise focused them. Praise gave them perspective. And when they faced it, praise brought the breakthrough. That's a good word, church. Isn't it? Be a person of thanks and praise. It strengthens you, releases grace, builds you up, puts you in a community of like-minded people. And when you begin to praise in the situation, facing it right there, boom. It was when they did that, God moved. Oh, I love it. Stand to your feet. Your prayer.